gospel. If you have your Bibles, I'll ask you to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. And I'm going to pray and we'll get into the Word. Father, we come just humbly before Your presence tonight. I thank You and praise You for all You do and all You've done and for Your many blessings. And we thank You for giving us an opportunity to gather in the house of God tonight. We thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and Your blessings upon us. And Father, we just pray that You would bless the reading of Your Word as we open up the Scriptures, Lord, that You would use me as Your servant. Father, help me to relay the messages You've laid upon my heart. And God, that You would help us to arise and help us to continue to be building upon Your house. And Lord, that You would just use us in these last days to continue to see that the gospel is going around the world. Father, if there's someone here that does not know You, Lord, we pray that Your Spirit would draw them to the cross before it's too late. And for us that know You, Lord, that You would stir our hearts and help us to gather and glean something from Your Word that we can make application into our lives tonight. And I thank You and praise You for doing so. And we ask these things in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like you to arise for the reading of the Word. We're going to be reading in 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Starting in verse 11. Can I have you sit down, please? Have you sit down, please? Everybody, please. And I ask you to rise one more time. Thank you. If you're not able to rise, I understand. Here the Bible says, "Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and the judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong, of good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver and of brass, and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, that thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. And the gold and the silver and the brass and the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee." And David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, "Is not the Lord your God with you, and hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord." Thank you. You may be seated. Now, we understand it's being Father's Day today, that how our lives can make an impact in other people's lives. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 4, the Bible says, "And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. We can see that through Samuel's obedience, it impacted the life of David. We know that one man's obedience can affect the lives of others. And we've seen that through Samuel and his obedience to God to go and sanctify Jesse and his family. We know that that sanctification, that anointing that took place in young David's life, it was a setting aside for a specific task and purpose in young David's life. And now, many years later, we're finding in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, we're finding David given a charge to his son Solomon. And you know, it's important, you grandfathers and you fathers here, about what you're instilling into your children. It's important that you're bringing them to the house of God. And I commend you, parents, and I commend you, grandparents, who have faithfully throughout the years brought your children to the house of God. Because you could have carried them anywhere else. But you know, you're instilling these things into your children. And there may be a time period in their life where they'll go away from these things, but they'll eventually, usually most of the time, they'll go back to their roots. It happened to me. There was a time period in my life, in my teenage years, where I left the church, and then God brought me back. And I'm thankful that I had a father and a mother who instilled in me the necessity of tending church. I'm thankful for the scriptures that I learned as a young child. But, you know, it being fathers today, I want to say thank you to all the fathers out there. I'm a father of two lovely daughters. And I'm grateful and thankful that the Lord has blessed us with that. And I know each and every one of you too. And thank you, fathers, who have been faithful throughout the years to bring your children into the house of God. Now, here in this passage of text, I want you to look with me in verse 11. It says, "Now, my son." Now, we know that David was talking to his son Solomon, so there was a paternity ship between them. There was a blood relationship between David and Solomon. It's important that you have a blood relationship today. You do have a father here, an earthly father, but you also have a heavenly father too. And if you've never had your name placed into the Lamb's Book of Life, you've never been born again, you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not in the family of God. You have not been born again as Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. And it's important that we know today that our name has been written in the book of life, that it's not been blotted out, or, you know, we know that we're sealed to the day of redemption. No man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. We know that once our name is placed there, that we're sealed. Once you've become a child of God, you have been brought into the family of God, and that's a beautiful place to be. And if you're here today and you're not living within your inheritance, that's what you're doing. You're living beneath your inheritance if you've not put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now David was saying, "My son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God as he has said of thee." So we understand that there was a paternity. We also know that there was production being made. He used the word build, and anytime you're going to build something, that's an action verb. That means you're going to have to rise up and do something, just like y'all have been doing here as you pulled these pews out, getting ready this week to change the carpet. People had to rise up to get busy for the work, and we need to be busy doing the work of the Lord. And you're going to find the work of the Lord inside your local church. Christ died for the world, but He gave us the local church for us to serve and to minister to others. And it's a beautiful thing seeing what's taking place here. I love to see the growth of a church and how God's using people here in this congregation to continue to add to this church. Now he goes on and he says in verse 12, "Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God." So we understand that there was a paternity ship, there was production, and then look with me in verse 13. The Bible says, "Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and the judgment which the Lord charged Moses with." Now we understand that it was a promise to David that his lineage would build that temple. We know David wasn't able to do it, but David was used instrumentally in gathering the materials that was going to be used for that temple. It was a promise to him. And you see that tabernacle in the wilderness, we see, and we can go back to the book of Exodus, we can go back to the beginnings there and see how the people willingly gave of themselves first, and then they gave to the work of the Lord. You'll never give to the church, you'll never give to the Lord's work until you first willingly give of yourself. We see the pattern in the New Testament church also, as well as Paul used them as an illustration to the church of Corinth. He was saying, hey, they willingly gave of themselves and unto us by the will of God. And I'm telling you today, if you're not willing to give your all for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you'll never give to the work of the Lord. Think about what Christ has done for you. Those nails that were driven into His hands and that crown of thorns that went upon His head. And He willingly laid His life down on that cross, and we should want to do more for Him, just because we know no greater than love than this, than a man lay his life down for his friends. And Christ laid His life down so that we can have an abundant life in Christ, so we can continue to come into the house of God and worship Him, and we need to continue to build upon those things. There's many communities around us, and there's many people in these communities that need to be in the house of God. And this ought to be a beautiful place. It ought to be a place where people have a delight and a joy to come into the house of God. There's still a lot of work to be done. And there's still a lot of work to be done here in this church. And you know, for the work to continue, the work to get done, there's going to have to some people to rise up and to build, just like David was telling his son Solomon. Now I want you to look with me in verse 13. He said, "Then shalt thou prosper." We understand that obedience precedes blessings. You'll never have the blessings of God until you first have obedience. You know, it wasn't until God told Abraham to rise and take his family and head out in the middle of the desert that God blessed him in his obedience. Noah was blessed and his family was saved in an act of through his act of obedience and building an ark. So we see all throughout the history of the Bible and those historical accounts of men of God, it's always been those small steps and sometimes large steps of faith that put them in the place of a blessing in their life. So we always remember that, young people, obedience precedes blessings. You want some blessings in your home from your mom and dad? Be obedient. They tell you to clean your room? Clean up your room. They tell you to pick up your toys? Pick up your toys. Because, you know, a lot of times we, just like we have a loving Heavenly Father, we miss those blessings sometimes because of our lack of obedience. And, you know, I always wonder how much stuff I'm going to get to heaven one day and see that I missed out because of my disobedience to God. And I don't want to be sitting there with my tongue hanging out saying, "Man, I wish I would have had that there, but because I wasn't obedient and doing what I was supposed to do, I missed that blessing from the Lord." We know that God blesses the just and the unjust, and I'm not a prosperity preacher. I believe that God adheres to His Word. I believe that God will stand upon His Word, and if He tells you that an act of obedience is going to bring blessings upon your life, it'll always be there. It'll always be faithful in doing that. So before Solomon received the blessings, he first had to be in obedience. He had to be obedient to what his father had told him to do. There are some young people in this congregation tonight that need to be obedient to their parents. That's the biggest thing. David could tell his son over and over and over and give him this charge over and over, but it would have never done any good unless Solomon was obedient and listening to his father. We have some loving fathers here that discipline their children, that lead them and direct them in the way that we go, but it'll never work unless we have some children that are attentive and willing to listen to the instructions from their father. So young people, I encourage you, be obedient and listening to your family, listening to your father and mother. He goes on and says, "Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and the judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel." And he gave them a few things here. He said, "Be strong and of good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed." Now when we look at this word dread, the actual word dread, it means in the Hebrew, it's yadre, and it actually means to frighten or to fear. And when we think about this word fear, this is just something that we all face fear. We all have learned over the last couple of years of what fear is. We can see the circumstances going around in the world today, and sometimes it's a fearful situation that we're in just because of what's going on. But the other thing, the word that he used there, the second word that he used, was dismayed. Now there's a distinction between dread and dismayed. The distinction between that is that dismayed means that it's a crippling fear. Or to prostrate oneself, to just stop. And sometimes fear cripples us. Sometimes fear will cripple us from sharing the gospel with somebody else. Sometimes fear will hinder us from sharing the gospel with somebody from a different culture or a different language or maybe because they look different. Sometimes fear will cripple us in our efforts to share the gospel. And Satan's number one tool of hindering Christians from their Christian service is fear. And he wants to have us living in fear. There's a story that I like to share with you. There was a hymn written in 1904. The Martins were a guest at the Practical Bible Training School in Leicester, New York. And one Sunday, Mr. Martin was supposed to go preach at a church some distance from the school. Miss Martin wasn't feeling well, and he thought about canceling and staying home to take care of her. Their 9-year-old son piped up at this point, "Don't you think God will take care of her?" With that, Mr. Martin went off to conduct the service. And while he was gone, his wife, thinking about what their son had said, wrote the words to the hymn. And when he came home, relieved to find his wife much better, she gave him the words to him, and he sat down at the organ and within an hour composed the music. Later that evening, a couple of the teachers came by, and they sang the hymn together. And later in the week, it was sung at a school assembly and then added to the songbook. You know what that song was? "Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day and o'er the way. He will take care of you. God will take care. God will take care. God will take care of you. You know, no matter what you're going through, you may be battling, a doctor telling that you're facing cancer, a loss of a loved one, God's going to see you through. No matter, we got a God that'll never fail. He'll always prevail. Through thick and thin, He'll be there with you to the end. We know that He'll never leave you, never forsake you. And that's a beautiful thing, knowing that He comforts us and He walks along with us. The Bible says that He'll guide us even unto death. And I'm thankful that we have a Savior that loves us so much that He will see us through the troublesome times in life. Look with me here in verse 14. The Bible says, "Now behold, in my trouble." See, we know David, he had trouble in his life. Often he would find that Saul was chasing him in efforts to take his life from him. Multiple occasions he threatened to take the life of David. And then you had multiple occasions where David spared the life of Saul. We find the time that he cut his garment off. And then the time that he took his flagon of water and he went across the hill to the other side and then he waved it before him. Then he sent his men to carry it back to him. And David was showing love and compassion to him. Even in his trouble, David continued to be a man of character, a man of integrity. And even in those times of trouble, we need to stand in the face of fear in those troublesome times and keep doing what God wants us to do. Because when we're times of faithless, God is always faithful. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we got a faithful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, tonight. Now, when we look at David's problems, the Psalms 108:12 says, "Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man." Psalms 91:15 states, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and deliver him and honor him." You know, we also face those times of trouble. We know that David and Saul, there was a rivalry that was taking place between those two individuals. They knew that David was going to be king. Samuel, Saul, and David was there at that anointing of David. You know, that didn't take place in young David's life during that time period. There was a time period that David had to grow before he ever received that crown. And all three of those men knew that one day he would hold that crown. And you know, there was times when there was rivalry between David and Saul, in so much that David just cried out to the Lord. And when you're in those times of trouble and people are coming up against you, cry out to God. He'll help you through those things. You'll never do a work of the Lord without somebody rising up against you. And I'm telling you, I'm here to testify the fact, most of the time when you step out to be obedient to God, it's going to be those closest around you that rise up against you. And you need to face and just step up in the face of fear and continue doing what God wants you to do. Now, we know that David, it's kind of interesting, the relationships between men and older men in the ministry and younger men in the ministry. I don't know if it was a battery. I could have just hit the thing. Not really sure, but it cut off. All right. So we understand that there in that passage of text, we're looking at the lives of Saul and David. And we see there was some rivalry going on between the brethren. Listen, we are to love the brethren. We are to walk together in unity with those who love Christ. He said it is a blessing that men dwell together in unity. And we should dwell together in unity with men in the ministry, those that are laboring alongside us and helping us. Now, I want you to look with me here in verse 15. The Bible says, "Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone, timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work." Now, we see in this passage a protege. David had workmen with him in abundance. There were people that were laboring on this for David and helping him. We too should learn to tithe our talents before the Lord. If God's gifted you in an area of service, you ought to use it in the church. You ought to give those gifts and talents that God has given you and in turn labor for him. And that's what David was telling a young Solomon. God's gifted you in these things. You need to utilize them in the church. He's saying you need to utilize these in the building of this temple. Now, we all should have a protege. What I mean is we should all have someone that's above us that we're gathering and gleaning from, and then someone that we're below us that we are feeding. You know, you come in and you sit through Sunday school and you sit through Sunday services and Wednesday night service, and your pastor is preaching and giving the gospel and sharing things out of God's word. And then God is sending you back out into your communities, in your homes, in your jobs, and there are people there that need to hear that. And God has placed you there specifically so that you can gather and glean this stuff so you can in turn tell others about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And David had not only a protege, we find that he had productivity going on. Look with me in verse 16. The Bible says, "And the gold and the silver and the brass and the iron, there is no number. Arise therefore and be doing, and the Lord be with thee." He says, arise and be doing. And I believe today that we're in a state where we need to be arising and we need to get doing for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We had a time over the last couple of years where it seems like we've fallen away. There's been a great falling away take place in the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to be arise and be doing. We need to get busy doing what God wants us to do. You know, you'll never serve the Lord Jesus Christ until you first arise unto that appointment of salvation. And you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you'll never arise to serve the Lord Jesus Christ until you first willingly give of yourself and say, Lord, I want to do whatever it is that you want me to do. You know, young people, I wasn't saved until I was about 26 years old. I was called to preach in my early 30s, and I wasted about a quarter of my life. You know, I wish that I was your age. You know, what the greatest thing you can do at your age is to take a blank sheet of paper and just sign the bottom of it and ask the Lord to fill it in. See, so many young people today, they're making their plans for life and what they want to do, where they want to go to school, the job that they want, and they're not even taking consideration what the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wants to use them. You know, God has a better plan and a better purpose for your life. And the plans that you make, I'm going to tell you, you may fall short and you may live in a life of misery because you didn't allow God to place you where He wants you to go. So young man, young lady, be obedient to what God wants you to do. Find the will of God in your life. Ask God, Lord, what, like Paul on that road to Damascus, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And then if you ask God, He's going to show you. He'll give you a plain path and a purpose, just like David was teaching young Solomon. Do you know, back in the Old Testament time, there was one path that those priests went into that tabernacle tent or the temple. And there was only one way in. There was one door. We know that Christ said, I am the door. You know, hindsight's always 20/20. We can look back and we see how every artifact in that temple was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. So as I think of the times of the past, holding dearly to what we thought would last, but it seems this time has passed, this form of worship has passed our grasp. As we lift our solemn voice in praise, passing the tribe of Judah on our way, the roar of the worship from the front lines setting the stage for His glory divine. As we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, being thankful for His mercy and blessing His holy name. As the smoke clears the altar and fills the air, we see the horns of the altar and the sacrifice that it bears, acknowledging our sin and that lamb that was laid. Oh, the blood was shed for our transgressions that day. As we pass the altar where a sacrifice was made, only to find the brazen laver alongside our way, filled with water that must needs be changed every day, representing the washing that we seek from His word, a continual renewing within each word. The defilement of our garments hindered us from entering in, but that washing from the laver, it gave the priest entrance in. And his approach to the holy place was with reverence and care, knowing that His presence was already there. The table of showbread, with His glorious glare, represents the face of God that was ever present there. The lampstand, with its lustrous flare, within it three branches extended upwards in pairs. The light shone through the holy place, its infinite glare, represents our Savior in the light of righteousness that He shares. As he approaches the altar of incense with its sweet-smelling savor, giving up the petitions and prayers to our sweet Savior, I can almost see the sweat, the tears, the blood, and the blank stare. As he approaches the veil, he enters within with the ideal of covering the sin. He approaches the mercy seat with gold overlaid. Atop of the ark, the mercy seat was stayed, and he sprinkled the blood that stained so red, reminding me of the precious blood of the Lamb that was shed. And I'm thankful for that blood. I'm thankful for that blood. I'm thankful that we can look back into that Old Testament time, into that tabernacle tent in the temple, and we can see it's all pointing to Jesus. You know, that little altar of incense, it gave up a sweet-smelling savor. You know, that is representation of a place of prayer. They had one pattern or one way in, and to get into that holy place, in that veil, they had to have an act of prayer. And that's the way that you're going to get in. It's the way that you get into the family of God. It's the way that you get to the throne of God by praising and lifting Him up. And it's the way that you get God looking on your life. And young people, I'm telling you here today, you need to have a path of prayer. You need to have a path that's going to take you to that throne of God every single day in your life. It needs to be a staple. And you need to have this staple embedded into your life at a young age, because God's wanting to do something marvelous in your life. And that's what David was trying to instill in Solomon. He's saying, listen, God, you're going to be building this temple one day. And I'm trying to give you every tool necessary here, because I want you to rise up and I want you to continue doing what the Lord's laid upon my heart. He said, I'm a man that has blood upon my hand and I can't build it, but God's given me a promise of my inheritance, of my family that's going to come alongside me and build in this place. And He says, I need you to rise up. I need you to get busy and I need you to be doing these things. We all today need to rise up and get busy for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To get busy, there must be preparation. David was so busy in building in preparation for the building of that temple. We find in verse 3, it says, and David prepared iron in abundance. And I want you to look with me in verse 14. In the latter part, it says, 1,000 talents of silver and brass and iron without weight. So he gathered it in abundance. It couldn't be weighed. And then you find in verse 22 and verse 16, it says, of the gold and silver and brass and the iron, there is no number. So it couldn't even be weighed. It couldn't be numbered. They couldn't count it. It was so much in abundance that David had gathered for the building of that temple. You want to know why? Because David arose and got busy doing it. You know, he didn't worry about what everybody else was doing around him. He knew the importance of preparation and laying up in store for the building of that temple. How's your preparation today? I'm going to share with you one way that you can prepare. When you walk out of these double doors tonight and you go back out and you're fixing to get to those glass doors, there's a little track rack out on the back. And that's a way that you can prepare to see that you're being used for the service of our Savior. You know, Ephesians chapter 6, it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You'll never be prepared to share the gospel unless you first grab some ammunition. You need to be first getting you something that you can share with people in the community. And that's what David was trying to instill in young Solomon. Hey, if you're going to build, if you're going to be active, if you're going to rise up and be doing, there must be preparation first. If you're going to build a house, there must be a gathering of those materials before you build. If you're going to build in the church and you're going to take up the carpet, there must be a gathering of the materials first. And I like to see what's taking place here in this church. I'm thrilled by that. It's good to see growth. It's good to see young people in the church. It's good to see a church thriving. And I commend you. You know, when we think about David here, and he had in abundance. It reminds me of Paul. Paul said that I'm full. I abound. He had everything that he needed. And sometimes you're going to be in life where you are full. You're going to have everything necessary to do the job and to get the work done. And then there's sometimes that you're going to have some lack. You know, the Church of Philippi, they supported Paul through the hands of Epaphroditus. Paul said that they gave once and again into my necessity. I believe that they were supporting him, but when Paul had a need or a project, an Epaphroditus project going on, they was willing to hand it to the Epaphroditus to carry it out where it needed to go. So you also see a co-laboring with Paul, but also Epaphroditus as well, because they were working together for the cause of Christ to see the gospel going around the world. We have a responsibility today of getting getting the gospel around the world. He says, "And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost." That's four areas simultaneously that God's given us as Christians the responsibility. Your Jerusalem is your home church. There are people that are no longer sitting in these chairs that ought to be in the house of God. That's our responsibility to go out and compel them to come back into the house of God. That's your Jerusalem. Your Judea is your surrounding community, your job, your schools, and the places that you go on a daily basis. And then you have, I like to read it sometimes slow. And if you read that verse, it says, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in some area. And you know, there's always some area that we neglect in our Christian life or in our Christian evangelism or getting the gospel out. And I'll tell you where that is. That's the people in our gas stations. That's the people out working in our fields. We neglect to reach them with the gospel, sometimes out of fear, sometimes out of a lack of ability to communicate. But you know, God in these days have given us every tool necessary to see that these people are reached with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you realize that we need to arise to the challenge to stand up and say, I want to do what I can to see that these people are getting a clearer presentation of the gospel? And we do that by a tract. You know, we do that by a simple tract. You can't speak the language, but somebody can. And then you have the uttermost, and that's how you do is by partnering together with people that's going carrying the gospel around the world. These flags that are represented here in this church are representation of those missionaries that are out on those fields that you co-labor together with through the Faith Promise program. And that's important. I said a program. It's not a program. It's a form of worship. Because it's personally between you and the Lord Jesus Christ as to what He wants you to do, that specific number or that specific percentage that He'll have you to give to world missions. Well, I want to say one thing before in closing. We need to be prepared. And if you're going to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, you're going to have to make preparations to it. You're going to have to arise and to be doing. The greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life was a man by the name of Bob Bowen. He's a missionary to Thailand. He came by and picked me up on a Saturday morning, one morning, and he carried me to the McDonald's. And he had a little gospel flip book. And he says, Brother Andrews, I know you're saved. He says, I know you got a desire to tell people about Jesus. And he says, the Lord's impressed upon my heart to come and help you. And he sat down with me for 20 minutes and went through that gospel presentation book, flip book. And it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I took that book that week and went and shared it with two other people, and they trusted the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because of that man investing 20 minutes. You want to make an impact in somebody's life, in your grandchildren's life, or in your children's life? Invest some time into them. That's what David was trying to do to Solomon there. He was taking a little time out to give his son Solomon a charge so that the temple could be built. David had a love for God, and David was a man after God's own heart. Where's your heart at tonight? Do you have a desire to see the temple to still be built, so to speak? You know, God's given us this church. He's given you this church as a means to reach the world with the gospel. And I think we need to rise up. We need to build. We need to continue doing what God wants us to do. And be faithful. Be faithful in these last days because we never know when our time is up. Pastor, if you'll please come.